twin moons cast shadows like blood scores across the sand. Jacken hunkered down in a bowl-shaped depression and listened. Inside the wood and stone dragonry, he could hear the mewling and scratching of hatchlings as they pipped out of their shells. One more night, and the hatching would be complete. One more night, and he could steal in and pick out a hatchling to raise in secret out in the sands. As he listened, Jacken stroked the leather bond bag that hung from his neck chain. The bag held only a few coins. Jacken knew that once he had trained his dragon to fight in the pits, his bag would be plump and jangling with gold. Then no one could call him Bonder again, and he would answer to no master's call but his own. He would be a boy no longer, but a man. The rustlings inside the nursery increased as more and more hatchlings caught Jacken's scent. They began to squeak their distress, a high peeping that multiplied quickly. In the nearby stalls, the hen dragons stomped their feet. They were well used to the man smell, but the panic of the newborn nestlings made them restless. Their huge clawed feet beat out challenges to the intruder near the clutch. Any moment now, a hen might roar, and that would wake any sleeping bonder within hearing. Jacken did not dare stay longer. But what did that matter? He had heard the sound of the hatchlings, and he knew how close the pipping was to being finished. As a lower stall boy, he was not allowed into the incu barns. His job was to clean the stud stalls and bathe the big male dragons. Dust and fumets, fumets and dust. He was no better than a mecco garbage collector, but at least he did not clank like one, disturbing the great cock dragons in their stalls. Few of the male dragons could tolerate the sound and smell of a mechanical heapster without hackling, their collars of hardened neck flesh raising up for a fight. A hackled dragon was no good for stud. It took days to calm one down. So humans, bonders, had to serve as waste collectors, even on the most modern worm farm. Jacken knew the stud barn well, but the incu barn he could only imagine from its sounds. Tomorrow night, when the hatching was complete, he would find his way into those half-lit, cozy compartments where the temperature was kept to constant 34 degrees Celsius. He would find his way and get himself a snatchling and begin the transformation of Bond Boy into Master in one quick, secret, silent act. Jacken turned and ran, bent over toward the northernmost corner of the building. He waded across the stone weir, knee-deep in the water that was channeled through the dragonry from the Naraka River. At the third join, he climbed out again, but kept low until he came to the dunes, another shadow in a night of shadows. The desert air dried his legs quickly. The water had come nowhere near the bottoms of his thigh-length bonder pants. He checked the horizon for unfamiliar shapes, watchers in the night, and then he stood up. But only for a moment. He took the whisker from the sheath on his belt and began to broom his footsteps away. It made the going slow, and his back ached with the effort. But he did not dare leave prints to show that anyone had gone out across the sands. Bonders, lacking most entertainments, loved to gossip. At night in the bond house, once the lights were out, there was little else to do until sleep claimed them. Jacken had a few hours before the cold of dark after. He planned to use them to check again on the crops of blisterweed and burnwort he was growing in his hidden oasis. Everything had to be ready for the arrival of the snatchling. He dared leave nothing to chance. Jacken thought, and not for the first time, how his inability to sense anything in the egg made stealing a dragon so difficult. Eggs were never counted. Hatchlings were. That was because so few of the eggs actually hatched. Anyone could steal an egg unnoticed. But unless the thief could sense the living dragon within the shell, his chances of success were small. And Jacken did not have